We're all in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse number 26. Please follow along, because I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Verse 26, and it reads, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. They need your undivided attention. Amen. Look them square in the eye and say to them, "Neighbor, will you believe the impossible? Neighbor, will you believe the impossible?" You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Will You Believe the Impossible?" There's something that we have to talk about. As God's people, all of us will say, "Yes, I believe." But when we talk about believing, Sister Davis, I think we have a way of finding limits or structure or borders in our believing. We have the ability to believe to an extent, because what has happened to us is called life. And life has showed us that I can believe, but still have all hell break loose. I can believe and still have to bury loved ones. I can believe, but still end up going through a divorce. I can believe, but still my bills are adding up more than the money is coming in. I can believe, but still find myself unemployed. You see, we believe, but the reality is, can we believe the impossible? Now that's a hard one for us, because of the fact that all the things that I just mentioned are all things that flow through life. And when you look at the as what we call the nature or the natural of how things happen, the occurrence of how things flow. That there's a flow in everything. And what happens is that since everything has a flow, I believe, but the impossible is hard to believe because the flow say it can. You see, because of that, we find ourselves restricting how much we really believe. Now, what we are about to do is to take a journey with God. Because what we have to realize is that, yes, through the natural flow of things, and if we look at the natural flow of things with the naked eye, we will always think that for something to change, it would be impossible. But we have to understand that what we're seeing that's flowing wasn't created by us. We're just living through it. But since we know that we are just resources and that there has to be a source that created the flow, then that's telling me that the source has the ability to break the flow and change it at any time. So what we consider to be impossible is not when it comes to God. But let us look at this situation. What we see here in verse 26 primarily just says 6 months. In 6 months, you know, we see the angel came and talked to a young lady who was from Nazareth, which is in the state of Galilee. And what we have to know about Nazareth is that can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Gilpin Court? Can any good thing come out of Wickham Court? Can any good thing come out of Fairfield? Or in name on? Or can any good thing come out of Richmond? Can anything come out of the country in somewhere in Virginia? No matter where you're from, can any good thing come out of Orange, New Jersey? Wherever you're from, I want you to know that folk were wondering, can anything good come from where you grew up? And as long as there's a stigma that people put on where you came from, then you will always have lower expectations because folk don't ever expect nothing good to come from you. And sometimes it's not just where we come from. They look at our family history because our family history's got a whole bunch of stuff in it. Whole bunch of stuff went wrong in it. You might have had a couple of folk in there that folk look sideways at and say, can nothing good come from that family? So since you've come from that family and you've heard folk talk about it, you figure that, well, why should I even waste my time? It's an impossibility that anything good can come from us. Because when I look at our history, I don't see nothing good in our history. So if nothing good in our history, why should it change now? So here we're seeing, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But then the Bible tells us about a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And then it tells us the virgin's name, her name is what, y'all? Mary. Mary. And Mary means exalted. So that means that her name was, whether or not her parents knew it, her name means exalted. And they probably did because they were Jewish, so they knew it meant exalted. And they didn't realize by them saying that, giving her that name, that she was exalted, is that God had a plan for her even before she was a twinkling in her daddy's eye. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we have to understand that God already has a plan for us. It's just for us to trust God in the plan. And here we're seeing the plan that he had for this woman, young girl named Mary. We're about to see it about to come to fruition, because what happens is that when the angel Gabriel sees her, he says to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is what? Girlfriend should have been excited. But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. You see, if you're not used to be called favored one, if you're used to be calling no good, if you're used to be calling that, you know, ain't much coming from you, if you're not used to somebody expressing themselves to you in a positive manner, the first time somebody do, you think something wrong with them. Because if you get so much negativity in your life long enough, you come to expect negative to always come your way. You never are expecting anybody to say anything good to you. If nobody never gave you a compliment, if nobody ever smiled at you when they said hello, the first time somebody does, you say, what's wrong with them? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if you've been told you're sorry your whole life, you ain't nothing ain't gonna come to you, you're dummy, look at you, you're this, that, and so on and so forth, that you come to expect everybody to treat you in that way. But here what we're seeing, it doesn't matter how many folk put negative on you, when God comes into your life, God is gonna put the positive on you. God will refer to you in a positive light. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care what you say about me. I know what God said about me. You see, that's all that really matters. Because God is my creator. God is the one that blessed me. God is the one that woke me up. God is the one that's going to use me. I know you told me I would never be nothing. And guess what? Right now I might not be nothing. But God said that I am the favored one. You see, I want you to understand something. Whether you know it or not, if you are saved and in God's house, God has showed you. Because he said, favored one. She was perplexed, never was being identified as being one who was called favored. She's from Nazareth. What good can come from it? She's a woman. He ain't supposed to refer to me like that. Favored one must be some dude or a favored one ought to be somebody who back there living large and in charge. But you're talking to me, being a young lady in Nazareth, and referring to me as favored one. You see, when God tells you you're a favored one, what he also makes it a point to let her know is that the Lord is with you. You see, when God is showing you favor, I want you to know that the Lord is with you. So I don't care how many folk are against you. When God says you are a favored one, the Lord is with you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we have to understand, I don't care how many folk are against us. If God is with us, because God says we are the favored one and that he is with us, I'm not concerned about nothing else. Because guess what? I know that God is going to see me through whatever I'm dealing with. You see, my brothers and my sisters, somebody needed to hear that today. That when God has favored you, you also got to know that the Lord is with you. He ain't going to just tell you you are favored and send you out there. He's going to let you know every step you take, he is taking that step with you. Everywhere you go, he is going right there with you because you are his favored one. He is putting a hedge around you. He is the one making a way out of no way for you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the one thing he is letting Mary know, I am with you. And since he's with her, he wants her to know everything is going to be all right. Now, when she heard this, she was perplexed. She was struggling. She was hurting, not understanding what was going on. And then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. Check this out. Look at this again. He says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found. Oh, Lord, do you see that? You have found favor. Who did she find favor with? Right? You see, the one thing that we're seeing is that the angel just wanted to make it sure that she understood. She's favored. And who did she find favor with? God. Now, the one thing that I want us to not get twisted, just because God says that he's found favor in you, don't think he found favor in you because you dotted all your I's, crossed all your T's. Don't think that you found favor with God because you've been living living the right way. Because I want you to understand that ain't what causes God to find favor in us. God ain't looking at what you was. God looking at what you're going to become. So don't you think that God is only looking to give folks the favored ones. It's because they have lived the right kind of life. I'm here to tell you that if the Lord can find find favor in Paul, if the Lord can find favor in Peter, the Lord can find favor in you. If the Lord can find favor in Moses, he can find favor in you. The Lord ain't looking for folk that got a squeaky clean past. The Lord is looking for some folk who he has called out and see potential in them. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care what you did before, but the Lord, if he says he found favor in you, that's enough for you just to go on and start shouting. Because what the Lord is saying, I don't care what you did on yesterday, I'm going to bless you in your today. Do I got anybody who's excited that God found favor in you no matter what you did on yesterday? He is saying you weren't perfect, you weren't right, but guess what? Now that I've got favor in you, I'm going to get you right, keep you right, and get you going in the right direction. So what we're seeing here is that he said to her, the Lord found favor. You found favor with God. And he says, now check out what you're going to do. And now you will conceive in your womb, bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. Check this part out. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be what? Look at this young lady. God has told her. He found favor in her and that he is with her, and then tells her what she is about to do. She's about to conceive. She is about to have. She's going to be conceived with the Son of God, the Messiah, who is going to reign forever. And you have the responsibility of carrying him for 9 months in your womb. And then you are going to nurture him and take care of him. This sister has a calling on her life. She expected to get married because she was already engaged to Joseph. She was expecting to have children because that's what happened when you get married. But what she was not expecting is that God had a special calling for her. And that she would have the responsibility of rearing the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of God. She was going to be placed in a position she wasn't expecting. How many folk in here have been placed in positions they weren't expecting? And why? Because God has showed you favor. And the Lord is what? With you. Why? Because he's got a calling on your life. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there are too many folk in God's house that need to just trust God a little bit more. Stop trusting on what you see with the naked eye. Because when you trust too much on the naked eye, I want you to know that you might end up naked. God wants to know for a fact, are you able to do the impossible? Now, right now in her mind, you gotta, you know, if we could put ourselves there, there's a whole lot that she has to ingest, process, and respond to. There's a whole lot she has to ingest, process, and respond to. There's a whole lot she has to, what? Ingest, process, and respond to. You see what is happening to us sometimes is that we've had a whole lot to ingest, to process, but we ain't respond. And then we wonder why we're stuck where we are. Because of the fact that, well, God, you gave me too much. That was too much for me to chew on. I need more time, God. I can't respond now, God. What am I supposed to do, God? I gave it to you. You got to ingest. You have to process. And then you have to respond. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the thing that we're seeing happening here with her is that once she received this information, what we are about to see something that is about to happen. You see, what we're seeing is that Mary says something to the angel. You know what she says to the angel? Verse number 34. How can this be since I'm a virgin? Now she's dealing with the reality. It's because of the fact that she's dealing with the natural flow. The natural flow says, Sister Rose, that a man and a woman have to come together in order. Now, we ain't talking about holding hands. We're talking about sex. We by a head grown. All right, hallelujah. That's all we're going to say about that. So we see they got to come together. Right? So in her mind, what she is being told by this angel is not going by the natural flow. So what is that telling us? There's a natural flow, but God at any point can disrupt the flow and change the flow because he's the creator of the flow. So that means that God can break the flow anytime he wants to break the flow. God can shift the flow anytime he wants to shift the flow. But what he wants to know is, do I got any folk that I can depend on that are going to trust me when I go on and break the flow? When I go on and shift the flow, are you going to have enough faith to believe that I can do all that? Because if you know that I'm the creator of all things, then you know I can do all that. So when Mary is raising this question, she is not saying she don't believe. She's just understanding it from the perspective, Lord, that this is the flow. Are you working with me? Now, this is the flow. But check out what the angel says to her. He says in verse 35, the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born. What will he be, y'all? Holy. He will be called the Son of God. And if that wasn't enough information for you, now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, which means that she's past childbearing age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be what? Barren. Check this out. For nothing will be impossible with who? Now check out what is happening here. You understand the flow, Mary. But what I'm telling you right now, I'm breaking the flow. You ain't going to be with a man to have my son. For my son to be holy, I have to do it. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I will overshadow you. And you will conceive. And I know you're having a hard time knowing what I say I'm going to do in you. But I want you to know what I've already done with your relative Elizabeth. She's past childbearing age. And all the women in here know exactly what that means. That sister no longer has a flow. Come on now, work with me. She no longer has a flow. So since she no longer has a flow, then nothing can flow from her. But it's just letting us know the power of God. That the power of God can put a flow where the flow has come to an end. The power of God has the ability to do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. What God is making clear right here so that Mary can know is that I'm God and I'm God all by myself. And check this out. I'm telling you what I'm about to do with you, but I'm telling you about what I've already done in your cousin. Now, what I'm asking you right now is, can you believe the end? That's what God wants to know. Can you believe the impossible? Can you believe that I am going to do this in you? What I've done in your relative 6 months ago. Can you believe? Can you get past yourself and allow me to step in and change your flow and do in you what you think is not possible? The term impossible is a term that has come from man. It comes from us seeing how things naturally occur. And based on how things naturally occur, to say something's going to happen outside of that natural occurrence, we had to come up with something and say that that is So what God has to say is that I'm bigger than whatever is going on. There's nothing that I can't shift. There's nothing I can't fix because I'm the creator of everything. So I can use what I want, when I want, and how I want. If God can talk through a donkey, God can do whatever he wants. If God can part a Red Sea, he can do whatever he wants. If God can take a youngster to beat a 9-foot man, God can do whatever. If God can take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bring them through a fiery furnace, God can do. That is letting me know that the God we serve can break the flow whenever he likes. If he can put Daniel in a lion's den full of hungry lions, and he wake up and come out that next morning and ain't nobody touch him, I'm telling you, God can break the flow. Our God can do anything. So what he is saying in verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. Now, Mary, what you gonna do? Are you going to believe the impossible? You see, now let me give you some context to this. Check this out. What God has done is said to Mary, are you going to believe the impossible? If you're going to believe the impossible, God in essence is extending his hand to her and says that if you're going to believe the impossible, extend your hand to me and grab my hand. Because if you believe the impossible, then what you're saying to me is that we're in agreement, that you are agreeing that I have the ability to do the impossible. And if you don't agree to it, then I'll just move on and use somebody else. Look at it. It's right here now. Because all the angel is waiting for Mary to do, Sister Tisdale, is give him the answer he's looking for. And until she gives him the answer he's looking for, he ain't going nowhere. And if she don't give that answer, then eventually he could have just left and went somewhere. But after Mary hearing what he wants to do in her, and then Mary hearing what he did in Elizabeth, check out what she says in verse 38. She says in verse 38, then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. She shook God's hand. She made an agreement with God. Don't you know every time we step out on faith and say, Lord, I'm going to do just as you asked me, that's in essence us saying to God, God, I shake your hand. And we're in agreement. You see, God is just looking for some folk who are going to be in agreement. God is looking for some folk who are willing to give him a handshake and say, Lord, let it happen according to your word. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you see, what we have before us is the word of God. And what God is looking for from us is for us to believe in his word. And the way that we show God we believe in his word is that we step out on faith. When we step out on faith, that is us giving God a handshake and saying, God, I'm in agreement with what you're going to do. I agree that you can do the impossible. I agree that you can make a way out of no way. I agree that you can knock down any wall. I agree that you can open up any door. I agree that you can get me through whatever I'm dealing with. I agree that you will do the impossible. Lord, I agree with you because I know how far you brought me. I know where I am right now, and I didn't get here all by myself because, Lord, I want you to understand. Hold on, check this out. Let me take you so that you understand what's happening. Once Mary made the agreement with God, the impossible happened in her life. not knowing what could happen or what could go wrong, because she trusted in God enough that God would take care of whatever, because she decided to believe in the what? Impossible. And in believing in the impossible, what happened? Jesus was birthed out of her. So that means that now the impossible that she was in agreement with has now come to life. Don't you know that Jesus is the impossible? That Jesus did what? The impossible. That Jesus gave sight to the blind? Impossible. Jesus allowed the lame to walk? Impossible. Jesus healed the sick? Impossible. Jesus raised the dead? Impossible. Jesus controlled the elements? Impossible. Jesus multiplied 5 loaves, 2 fish? Impossible. Don't you know that Jesus was the impossible that came and dwelt here among us? That's why he's called Emmanuel, because God being with us, which is lets us know when God is with us, I don't care what man says is impossible. When God is with us, God makes the impossible. You see, what God wants to know is, do we have anybody in God's house who is able to trust God enough so that God can break the flow and do that which only he can do, because he is God all by himself? Can you believe the? Wait a minute, I thought y'all was with me. That sounded real weak. That sounded real weak. That sounded so weak, Reverend Rose. I mean, I just don't know. See, I was about to go on and get ready to start shutting it down, but I just got to take just a couple more minutes. You see, my brothers and my sisters, let me bring it home to you. Can I bring it home to you? Don't you know when you came to Jesus, you came believing the? See, y'all still said it kind of weak. See, that's what I'm understanding. Don't you know that? Remember when you came and gave your life to Christ? Remember when you said, Lord, I surrender all? Remember how toe up from the flow up you were? Remember how lost you were? Remember how confused you were? Remember how misguided you were? Remember how lost you were? You thought you was going to lose your mind. Some folks was trying to take their own lives. Some folks didn't know what to do. But I thank God that one day we came through the doors. We called on the name of Jesus and said, Lord, I want to be saved. When you said that, you were stepping out and believing the impossible. Oh, somebody's catching it now. So how is it, David, we started off with the impossible and gotten to where we are right now? Questioning everything. Wondering, how can anything happen? How can we do this or do that? But when you came, God did the impossible in your life. Remember when you came, you ain't have 2 nickels to rub together? Remember when you came, you was living off peanut butter and jelly? Off 1 piece of bread and not 2? Come on now. You ate so many beans back in the day. When you look at a bean right now, you just want to... Come on now, work with me. When you see how far God has brought you, you ain't get here because you all had a bag of chips, 2 sodas, and a shake on the side. You are where you are because God did the... You see, my brothers and my sisters, if we start out with God doing the... Where in the world did we go wrong? Thinking that now we got to put limits on God. You started believing the impossible. When did the shift happen? You started off believing that the flow could be broken. Because when we look at our lives, sin had us doing this. Sin had us doing this. And we got so good at that sin, we had a trench where we were. And every time we came around, folk, they looked at us and said, oh, ain't nothing going to happen with them. They going to hell for real. Because all they could see was the sin in our lives. Because we were so captivated by what was going on. We got to the point we didn't believe it could be broken. We got to the point we got used to everybody calling us sorry, calling us outside our names, calling us female dogs, calling us the N-word. We got so excited. I mean, we got so engulfed with that that it became a natural part of us. So that when somebody said N, you answered. When somebody called you female dog, you answered. Why? Because of the fact that you got so entrenched in sin. You wasn't expecting better because you thought you couldn't do better. But one day, You had an encounter with Jesus. And when you had an encounter with Jesus, you realized that I ain't got to keep going in this circle of sin. That the Lord was about to break the flow of sin in your life. The Lord was about to do something impossible in your life. Because everybody else thought it was an impossibility. But all I got to say right now is, look at you now. Look at how far God brought you. Look at how God blessed you. Because you stepped out on faith. Look at what God done. Because you confess your sins and watch how the Lord brought you through. I'm telling you, the Lord started us off, and we started off believing the impossible. Look at your neighbor and look at him and say, neighbor, I ain't gonna change from that. You see, our God does the impossible. He don't you know that he specializes on the impossible because of the fact that it is us who has put ourselves in these negative situations. But Jesus came to get us to rise above it. Don't you know that the reason why we're here, because God showed us favor. But God wants to show the whole world favor. That's why he sent the Son down, so that all of us can have an opportunity to have God do the impossible. But now that God has done the impossible with us, you know why we can't see any more impossibles? Because of the fact that we gotten comfortable where we are. We're just excited that we're no longer out there no more. And we ain't trying to go back out there to help nobody, heal nobody, get anybody to make the changes in their lives, because it took so long for you to get in here. But now that you are in here, God wants you to go out and do the impossible. It's not impossible. It's just what man says. But what I'm here to tell you, we know what God has said because God did it in us. Do I got anybody who knows what God did in you? Do I got anybody who realizes how far God has brought you, how he's healed you, how he delivered you, how he kept you in your right mind, how he brought you through impossible situations? Folk thought you wouldn't be able to do anything after you lost that job. Folk thought you would lose your mind after that loved one got called home to glory. Folk thought you wouldn't make it. All of a sudden, when you found out, your money started getting funny. But look at you, because God did the... Since God did the impossible, he's expecting you to go out and multiply the impossible by going and sharing and doing what others say can't be done. Some folk are saying it can't be done. See that building over there? It can't be done. See how that ministry gonna grow? It can't be done. But our God specializes in impossibilities. And the impossibility was birthed on this earth. And his name is
Jesus.
And he is the one who did impossibilities right before their very eyes. To let them know things which are impossible with man are possible with God. So my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to get back on track. When we came to the Lord, we came believing the impossible. So what the Lord is saying, it's time for us to get back on track. So go on and give about three folk a high five and say, I'm getting back on track. And if you never left track, saying, I'm staying on that track. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all the Lord wants us to do is get back on track. He wants us to get back on track in believing the impossible, moving in the impossible, and watching what God can do. How can a church at 5106 Walmsley Boulevard going to build that building? And how are they going to have an impact? Because we're believing the impossible, because our God specializes in the impossible. And watch how God's going to work in and through and around this ministry. All he wants to know is we can do it when we put ourselves back on track and believing the impossible.